Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News, here to give you all your Bravo news, gossip, tea, word on the street, everything you could possibly need. Coming to you from the Greater Toronto Area today, me, Bravo and Botox. It's like a fall morning. I love it. I'm the basic fall bitch, you know, but I just love the fall air. I even sat on my porch this morning, guys. Like, come on. Is that the most, I don't know, TV movie thing ever? I'm always like, who actually has time in the morning to like sit on the porch and drink tea? That was me. I did it. I did it for like a whole 10 minutes. And then my neighbor's car alarm started going off and it was taking forever for them to get their shit together. So I went back inside. That's the real life version of it. It's funny because when it's like hot out, like in the summer, I don't want to sit out on the porch as much. Like I want to sit on the porch in like sweatpants and like warm socks and a sweater. So I got a little bit of that this morning, which I'm happy about. Usually the beginning of September in, you know, Southern Ontario, which is where I am, has been like so hot the last few years. It's been really fucking hot, like 35 degrees Celsius. And, you know, it's like summer, basically. It just continues and continues. It's not like it used to be where you'd get like the fall feeling at towards the beginning. But now this year, I don't know. We've had like kind of fall weather. So that's cool. However, I was looking at this week and it's going to go back to being pretty hot. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on. All right. Well, let's get into some news besides my weather musings, which I'm sure you're not interested in at all. I hope everyone's had a great week. And one thing I will say is that, you know, with back to school and the fall coming, seems to come drama. The PR companies are working overtime. Shit's coming out. Lots is happening and we love to see it. The lull of summer. Listen, summer's great, but one thing that sucks about it is it kind of slows down. You know, there's not as much news. There's not as much programming. There's not as much drama, right? Because that's just the natural course of things. But not this summer. I mean, sorry, not now, not in fall. Now that we're into fall, we've got all these things coming up, all these new shows too. So listen, I'm watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I know it's not Bravo, but it is really fucking good. Okay. If you're not watching it, you need to watch it. Here is my stamp of approval recommendation. I've watched the whole season this weekend, except for the last two episodes. Yes, I have no life, but it is so good, like really good. It's not a Bravo type reality show in that, you know, it's more towards, okay, here's how I would describe it. In terms of how it's produced and the way they speak to each other and that kind of thing, it's sort of like in the middle of like the way a Bravo show would be and Selling Sunset. It's not so scripted and produced and fake like Selling Sunset, which I'm not saying Selling Sunset's bad. We just like kind of accept that that's how it is and we just enjoy it for what it is. But it's not as like reality seeming as Bravo and Housewives. Bravo's really good at doing like reality TV where even if a scene is planned and they know their topic that they're going to talk about, and et cetera, it doesn't seem, I mean, listen, there's exceptions. We've gotten random scenes here and there that seem so inauthentic. And then we as a Bravo audience, we're not always used to it. So we always call it out like on social media and stuff. But Bravo's pretty good at doing that. Like the conversations usually feel you know, it doesn't feel like acting, etc. A lot of the cast are like well trained in that. So this one is somewhere in the middle. Like, I didn't find it so fake and scripted like Selling Sunset. But, you know, there were some moments where I was like, you know, they're reaching a little bit, but there was still enough real, you know, natural moments that it's just really good. And there's a lot of actual drama. And I think one of the good things about it is that the group of women on it, I'm not going to talk about it for too much longer, I promise, because I'm trying to get a guest on who I know is watching it, who's someone who is fun and funny to come on with me and do like a Mormon Wives episode this week. So I'll get back to you all about that. But one thing I will say is that this group of women are like, they're friends, but they're kind of friends for their career, which is like their TikTok career. So they can actually talk about that, which is kind of like a downfall sometimes on Housewives, because there'll be rifts in friendships because of the show, who's getting more popular on the show. And they can't say it because they don't want to, like, you know, break the fourth wall. So they have to sometimes like pretend it's about something else or whatever the case is. And we as the audience have to kind of read between the lines. But on this one, they don't have to do that because that's the show. The show is that they, if it wasn't for their TikTok mom talk group, they wouldn't be friends, a lot of them. And they say that openly. But it's kind of like a work friendship relationship where they're like, well, for the greater good of our business, we got to make this relationship work or whatever. And that's why I think it works so well. And there's a good balance of like that drama in the group, like girl drama, but then also the drama in their personal lives, which is way more interesting than I expected. So I've still got a couple episodes left. I'm going to watch them today. Today being Sunday, I'm recording this on Sunday. I'm going to release it on Monday. Listen, watch it, catch up, binge it, get it, whatever. My Canadian people, you can watch it on Disney Plus. If you don't have Disney Plus, I don't know. You got to find it illegally. Do what you got to do. Figure it out. Okay. And then I will get back to you all with hopefully a bonus episode where I'm not going to do like a recap because I don't do that, but where I just talk about the season, hopefully with a guest, and we talk about all the major moments, what we think of all the different characters and their crazy husbands and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So there's my recommendation for you for fall viewing. I also started watching The Perfect Couple on Netflix. It's pretty good. It's all right. It's a little quirky. You know, they're trying to like do a quirkiness with the murder. Listen, I'm invested. I want to know who got murdered. So I'll probably finish it. And then I got to get season 2, Tell Me Lies. Love that show. I'll be watching that soon too. And yeah, there's a lot of viewing. And then we are going to have some shows making a comeback. We're going to get our Bravo shows back. We've got Beverly Hills, we've got Potomac, Salt Lake City. We have all those coming in the fall. And then Vanderpump Rules is going to be starting their filming soon, I believe in October. So hopefully we'll have Vanderpump Rules in the winter, like early next year is what I'm hoping for at least. And, you know, I think we're going to have The Valley coming back soon. So we're going to be good. We're going to have a good fall. Okay. We're going to have a really good fall, everyone. Now, there's been quite a bit of Bravo news this week, big things, as I was saying earlier. And, you know, there's things like births of children and stuff like that. And in the world, there's probably a lot of good news, engagements, marriages, etc. But there is nothing better than this first piece of good news that I am going to bring to you all. The Real Housewives of Miami, Lisa Hochstein's ex-husband, Lenny, has been dumped by his mistress slash fiance, Katerina, whatever her last name is. I can't remember right now. So 1 year into their engagement, she has left him for a seemingly younger dude. I don't know if this younger dude is wealthy or not. She posted like a picture with him where they're on a boat, kind of like canoodling, kissing, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, he looks like just like a regular guy. He looks much more age appropriate, I'll say that. But definitely way younger, obviously. So this is shocking. People, there were suspicions that they were breaking up because I can't, you know, just people internet sleuthing, looking at the way their Instagrams were, that kind of thing. But this is like confirmation, you know, this video with her and this new guy, like she posted it, all that kind of stuff. Now, Lenny has confirmed the breakup as well. So Lenny told Page Six, this is the quote, he said, "We recently ended our engagement. I have decided to move forward with my life. I have nothing but love and admiration for Katerina and her family. He is proud of her growth as a woman." Are you, though? Because her growth as a woman, I guess, told her to leave your ass. So I don't know. And then he said that he will be forever grateful for the time they spent together. Yeah, I'm sure. It's a nice PR answer. Oh, yeah. And Katerina, when she posted on her story, her and this guy, it said, "You jump, I jump." I get the impression that this woman is a little bit of a, like, I don't know, she gets like infatuated with guys. She jumps like full, you know, I don't know, pun intended, since I just, she was talking about that jump thing, but she gets like fully invested and jumps in with these guys. And then, you know, when the infatuation wears off, she moves to the next one. Because one thing that was kind of, you know, something that people were pulling up was that she did come over here and she was married to this other guy. I think, if I remember correctly, I think he was Italian maybe or something. And she was even wearing like the same long black dress when we saw her first pictured with Lenny. And then she moved to Lenny. And now it's like, not only are her and Lenny broken up, she's already got a new guy. Listen, so it could either be like she gets infatuated. It could be just the most evil answer, which is just like, use the men for whatever you can get from them and then move on to the next. I don't know. Like I heard, or, you know, I don't know if this is true, but that she married the first guy maybe to get like citizenship or something. I don't even know. I got to go back and do some research. But even like the engagement, I'm like, did she get her, she got her teeth done. I think she might maybe got some plastic surgery done from Lenny. She definitely got some gifts. She got a nice ring. I don't know if she gave it back. I would love to know if she gave that ring back or not. But it's like, is she just like a con artist? Is she moving from man to man? Listen, if she is, I don't feel bad for them at all, because they're assholes and they deserve it. Every single one of them deserves to get scammed. I don't feel bad for them at all. Sorry. If you stop thinking with your dick for a second, you might not get scammed. Okay. So there's that. But then on the other side, maybe it's not that. Maybe she's just an insecure, lonely girl who gets all of her, you know, I don't know, self-confidence and stuff from men, and she doesn't know how else to be. Like, that could be another thing. And it could be as simple as, like, you know, the honeymoon period was over and Lenny's an asshole. And then she was like, okay, I need a new guy who's going to be nice to me. I have no idea. Okay, so it's very interesting. And it's an interesting kind of scenario, because like, we love this for Lenny. We love Lenny getting left by his mistress. I wonder if he regrets, you know, leaving Lisa, because he just seems like, I don't know, he seems like a little insecure man who needs, like, you know, like a woman to kind of, like a young hot woman to like make him feel good about himself. But here's the thing. It's Miami. He has money. He's a plastic surgeon. He's going to have some new, you know, he's going to have some new girl on his arm soon, I'm sure. So, you know, but listen, I'm sure it's been a good week for Lisa in some ways, right? She's still with her tech guy, who seems like a nice guy for all intents and purposes. She seems like they're together. They're happy. They posted a picture together. I think they were traveling somewhere. So, I mean, you know, seems like Lisa's winning. And it seems like Lenny probably wasted a lot of money on this young Katerina girl. But again, no one feels bad for you, Lenny. Okay, let's go on to our next story. So next we have a story from the Valley. Actually, we have a bunch of stories from the Valley. The Valley is dominating this week because Mr. Jax Taylor has left the mental health facility slash rehab, whichever one we're calling it, which I'm going to get into that in a minute. But listen, this is what he posted. He posted a picture of himself sitting on a couch reading, which, listen, it's giving Larsa Pippen on The Traitors when they had that shot of her like reading that book and everybody was joking like there's no way Larsa's reading that book. Yeah, I don't think Jax is reading this book, but whatever. It's obviously in black and white because that looks more serious, right? This is his, what's it called? Caption. A little over a month ago, I checked into an intensive inpatient treatment facility, scared of the unknown and what I would find out about myself. After many years of knowing something was wrong, but not knowing exactly what it was, I recently learned that I was diagnosed with bipolar and PTSD. It's been a lot to process and an emotional time for me. However, I've come home to my son and found a new sense of peace. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared for the future, but my focus is just trying to be a better version of myself than I was yesterday. Mental health is a lifelong battle of not letting it control you, but rather you learning to control it. Thank you, everyone who has reached out in support and also who has shared their personal struggles with me. Your messages have helped me more than you know. Okay. Now, am I shocked at this? No, because I think a lot of people have maybe suspected that Jax has had something going on with him mentally. He's talked about it, about demons, he can't get out of his own head, etc. Like, listen, do I think that Jax would use his real mental health diagnosis as an excuse to also get away with bad behavior? Yes. But do I think that he's faking that he has bipolar? No, I don't. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, but he does show signs of that. And I don't think that he's lying about having bipolar. I can't speak about the PTSD. Listen, people are like, wouldn't he have had to have a traumatic event? There's probably something that happened to him that we don't know about, whatever. The point is that, listen, I'm not here to question someone's mental health diagnosis. What I will say is that can Jax have a real mental health diagnosis? Can it be the reason for a lot of the choices that he makes or the things that he says? Also, yes. Does that make it an excuse? No. It can be a reason, but it's not necessarily an excuse, okay? Shannon from OC, I said this on the Patreon this week, but I want to say it here too. Shannon from OC can be an alcoholic. That's a real mental illness. Addiction is one of the most difficult mental illnesses to overcome. Does that mean that her drunk driving, that she's excused from that because she has an addiction mental illness? If she does, we don't know for sure, but let's just say, no, it's not an excuse. You're still an adult. You still have to take accountability for your actions. Same goes for Jax. Because somebody has a mental illness, because they have an addiction, those are reasons that they may do things. And maybe it means that sometimes we forgive faster for certain things. Maybe it means, you know, if we see them getting help, we appreciate that and we support them in their recovery and all that. All of that, yes. Does it mean that he has the right to abuse others or hurt others or break the law, put others in danger, etc.? No, right? We don't know what's gone on behind closed doors. I don't know what he's done and said to Brittany. What I will say is that him coming out with this diagnosis does not erase everything that he's ever done. He still has to take accountability for things. That being said, getting help, getting the right medication, all that kind of stuff is a really good start. Okay, that's what I'll say. Do I also think that Jax is the type who will weaponize his diagnosis based on past behavior? Yes. But listen, I don't know. We're going to watch and see. It doesn't seem like the cast has that much faith in him because Zach has already tweeted, "Riddle me this. How is it possible you come out of rehab a worse person than when you went in?" Okay. So I don't even know, honestly, like what the fuck is going on? So there's that. And then Jax has been on his like podcast tour to kind of, okay, so Brittany and Jax are still doing their podcast, but they're doing it separately. So Jax was on an episode and he's now calling it rehab. You know, so yeah, I'm a little confused about this because then somebody took like a screenshot of the episodes and it's, and first the description of the episode with Jax talking about this, it said in his first episode since leaving an inpatient treatment facility. And then in the new one, it says in his first episode since he got out of rehab. So now there's all this speculation of like, is he dealing with, you know, yes, these mental health issues, but does he also have an addiction problem? Which that's also possible. Because, you know, there's always been a lot of talk of him having an issue with cocaine or other substances, you know, but that's all just speculation. But now that he's using the term rehab, people are wondering, okay, so what is really going on here? Like, it's getting a little bit confusing. You know, he also opens up on the podcast about his bipolar diagnosis. And again, he says, these are his words from the podcast. I was in an inpatient facility for about 30 days, which makes me feel like, did he leave early because of filming? Like, I don't know. Okay, so he says it was a very, very scary step for me, but it really, really needed to happen. And then I listened to some of the interview. Basically, what he says is that he was scared to go. When he first got there, he was resisting it, but then he kind of gave into it and he liked it. There was structure. You know, you get up, you make breakfast, you read, you whatever. You're on a set schedule every day. And then when it was time to leave, he was a little fearful about like going back into the real world. He'd have to like face everything he left behind and start filming and all that kind of stuff, right? So yeah, it seems like, you know, but he says that he's glad he did it and that it was the best thing for him and all that. So yeah. Now, on the other side of things, we have, So then we have Brittany on the other side of this divorce saying she spoke on it about her divorce on the podcast. She didn't really say anything that significant because it seems like she can't or doesn't want to give a lot of details. And again, they're filming. So, you know, I'm kind of glad I actually want them to save it for filming. But basically, Brittany said that, you know, she's very sad. It's a very difficult time. She can't speak on a lot of the details of the divorce. Things are ongoing, etc. But, you know, she thanks everyone for their support. It was just kind of a very like PR answer. And then there was an image of Brittany that somebody got of the valley while filming. And we see Brittany and she's like wiping away tears. And this was like some type of, I don't know what they were playing, some type of sporting event they were doing. And this was her first time seeing Jax, you know, at a filming event, I guess, since the divorce. And maybe this was before he got out of the rehab. But either way, you know, she can be seen crying. And from what we've heard, you know, she doesn't want to film with him. But I guess, I don't know, maybe there's going to be one or two things where she has to be there with him. I mean, that's got to be hard. Somebody sent me a DM, one of my followers whose name I can't remember right now. I'm sorry, but if you're listening, thank you. With a really good point that, you know, Lala and Sheena are going to be kind of filming some stuff on the Valley. And it'll be funny to see how supportive they'll be, or will they be supportive of Brittany refusing to film with Jax, considering how hard they came down on Ariana about not filming with Tom Sandoval. I guarantee you they'll be supportive of Brittany not filming with Jax or not wanting to be around him. They're going to get criticism for it for sure. But, you know, I think they learned from their mistake, but then at the same time, learning from their mistake with Ariana, well, I don't know if Lala has, but Sheena probably has, is also going to make them look like hypocrites. So they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, and they deserve it. So, yeah. Okay, so what else do we have? So Brittany, though, also has done a sponsored post recently for a vibrator. And the reason that I'm talking about this is because she put POV in my self-love era. So she's, you know, she's getting the bag. She's playing things up. She's using the divorce to her advantage. Good for her. You got to make your money. You got to go forward, all that kind of stuff. Now, Sheena has also made some comments. So she, on her podcast, she seemingly confirmed that Jax was in treatment for more than just mental health. Okay, because we know that Sheena and Lala, we know they can't shut their mouths. The only thing that shut up Lala lately is that she had her baby. But, and I think she's actually distracted and busy with that, as you should be. But listen, so Sheena basically confirmed on her podcast that there was something else besides like the mental health stuff that he needed to deal with. So maybe like an addiction or something like that. I think we're going to find out more information when the season comes back for sure. But yeah, the other thing is that Jax has now moved out of the house that they share. Brittany's moved back in, which it should have always been like that. I don't know, maybe going to the facility or the rehab or whatever made Jax realize what a dickish move it is. Maybe he was like going down the Sandoval path and he's like, oh no, I can't be the next Sandoval. Who knows? I'm wondering if his PR company advised him of that. And, you know, he's not on the cast trip. So the cast has gone to Maui for their cast trip and they are not bringing Jax Taylor. So he's missing out on that. I don't know if it was because it overlapped with when he was in the facility or what the case is, or they just didn't want to be around him. I really don't know. Point is that he's not there and they're there. And you know who else is there with them? Michelle Lolly's new boyfriend. And there's even been pictures of him and Jesse together. So I guess her ex and new boyfriend are getting along. There's literally a picture of Jesse sitting on Michelle's new boyfriend's lap. Okay, there you go. A successful divorce. But then it's confusing because, you know, Michelle posted something recently about, you know, it was kind of like a cryptic quote. I think I talked about it on last week's news about like, you know, making life difficult for the mother of your child or something like that. So I don't know. Or maybe we're going to watch things get better for them. Like maybe it's going to be rocky, but then they spend some time together. You know, it can happen that if you're married to someone and you're both checked out for a really long time and then you both honestly move on and find new people, which from what I know, Jesse does have a new girlfriend, that you could kind of get along and have an amicable, you know, relationship. So I do hope that for them because they have a little girl and a little sweet girl. And, you know, I hope the best for her. So the biggest thing, though, to come out of the valley is Kristen Doty is engaged to Luke Broderick after 2 years of dating. Congratulations, Kristen. It seems like the whole cast is supporting her. They posted a picture of them all wearing T-shirts with Kristen and Luke on the thing. And, you know, this included like Michelle and others who were kind of being anti-Kristen last year. So, yeah, it's good. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for Kristen. I don't know if I trust Luke. I'm still on the fence about him. Like, I liked how he really had Kristen's back season one. Like, he's like a good, you know, like he takes her side, which I appreciate. And I liked that he kind of didn't like Jax. That's always a good sign of character, not liking Jax. But on the other side, all his stuff of like, I have to fish and be outdoors and da da da. Like he was a little too much with that storyline. And he seems a little fame thirsty. Like I do get the impression that he likes to pretend he's above the D-list celebrity life and he's above the, you know, the LA lifestyle in California and being on the show. But really, he fucking loves it. I think he absolutely loves it. So that I don't know. We'll see. And he's also just this, he's got a vibe. I think a lot of women picked up on it last season. Okay. All right. So speaking of these Valley people who are friends with Vanderpump Rules people, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules. Okay. Let me find my news. So there's been a lot of gossip about, you know, is the OG Vanderpump Rules getting the axe? Are they all getting fired? They're going to revamp it, having a whole new set of, you know, servers. And kind of start like from scratch, like they did years ago, etc. Okay, so it seems like the truth of all this is somewhere in the middle. Okay, so according to TMZ, there is going to be some type of spinoff that's going to be based around the younger you know, newer servers at Sir Restaurant. Okay. So we know that, or at least they're filming and they're test shooting and doing all that kind of stuff and seeing if it's viable. The OGs are still returning for their own show. Okay, so Vanderpump Rules is coming back as we know it with the cast as we know it. So this would be a separate show. This makes sense to me. Okay, when they tried to like bring new people on and kind of integrate them into the existing group, that was just a mess, right? And it read like too inauthentic. It didn't make sense, etc. It just wasn't good. So listen, I'm never going to say no to a new show. Do I always have time for these new shows? I don't, but I make it work, clearly, since I watched all of Mormon Wives in one weekend. But anyways, the point is that this makes sense. And if it's good, we'll all watch it, just like we did with The Valley. We were all skeptical of The Valley. You know, we didn't think it was going to be that good. And now look at it. It's got huge ratings, especially for a first season. It makes sense. You know, it's this group of a real group of friends at a logical stage of life, which is like starting to move into the suburbs and having kids and all that stuff. And now it's about marriage issues, whatever. It makes sense, right? So if this is a show about like a younger group of friends at Sir who are not in that phase of life yet or still in the partying, whatever, maybe it'll be good. Listen, here's my worry is that it'll be too overproduced. The people on it know they could be like the next, you know, whoever stars and have this like reality TV life. So are they going to be trying too hard? You know, we're never going to recreate the magic of Vanderpump Rules where none of them knew what this show could be. There wasn't really another show like it out there. There was lots of other reality shows, but there wasn't one like this. And they were just legit, like those were their fucked up lives. Will we ever get that again? No, we're never going to get that again. It was a once in a lifetime amazing thing, and I'm glad I have experienced it. However, you know, we have to just make peace with that and just watch whatever new shows come out. And if they're good for what they are, they're good for what they are. Okay, there's no point in comparing them to other things. Just is it good for what it is? Is The Valley, you know, The Valley is a good show. Is it like how Vanderpump Rules was? No, but it's just good for what it is. And, you know, we just have to kind of go with that. So that's kind of the big news in the Vanderpump Rules world. And oh, sorry, one more detail just to confirm the original cast, you know, Tom Sandoval, Sheena, all those people are going to be back. And none of them are set to appear in the new project. Okay. But the pilot has not been officially picked up. So this is the other thing. So, you know, as of now, it's like filming and test shooting, but it hasn't officially been picked up. And if it does come out, it's going to be considered a spinoff, not a reboot. So it would just be its own thing, right? Now, in other Vanderpump Rules news, as I mentioned, Lala had her baby, so congratulations. She did not want to release the baby's name the other day because it was Beyoncé's birthday, which is so Lala because she's like, are you so narcissistic that you think people care more about your baby's name than Beyoncé's birthday? Or like you announcing your baby name is going to distract the world from Beyoncé's birthday? Or like, those things are just anywhere near on the same level. Not that I'm saying her baby's name or birth isn't important, but like, it's like Lala or the other option. It's just, she wants to make sure she gets as much attention for her baby's name as possible, which is also just as narcissistic as the other option. So either way, it's like Lala being Lala as usual. In other news, Rachel, I don't care. On her podcast, she was asked about Katie and made some comments about, you know, she was asked by her PR producer, co-host, whatever, what do you think about, you know, the topic is friendships checking in on you and, you know, how did you feel after everything happened with Scandoval that no one checked in on you? And she actually has the gall to make a comment that Katie never checked in on her. Katie, The one whose ex-husband you were kissing after she explicitly told you not to and that it would hurt you. Her mom even pleaded with you. And then you treated her like complete garbage all season. And yes, was Katie mean to Rachel as well that season? Yeah, but she had every right to be, and I stand by that till the day I die. But listen, I'm blown away. I am blown away with the audacity of Rachel and that her stupid publicist keeps setting her up with these dumb questions. Now, the reason that she asked her this question was because Katie made some comments recently, you know, when she was asked about like Rachel and how she keeps commenting on everything. So Katie made some comments like this girl needs to like shut up basically, or whatever the comments were, or something like that. And now Rachel has to respond to that. So it's really just this reach for relevancy that quite frankly is getting old. Okay, so let's move on to our next topic, which is the Real Housewives of Orange County. Tamara and Vicky are making me tired. Oh my God. I do not need to see Tamara's post facelift face on my feed anymore. It's a lot. If you don't know, you're lucky. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're very lucky. Consider yourself lucky. Tamara had a facelift and she wants to share every moment of it with us for what reason, I don't know. Am I happy when someone's open about plastic surgery? Yes. Do I need to see every second of it? No. It's tough to look at, okay? Her face is like raw and scaly. It's just not good, okay? Anyways, so during all this, she's having a conflict with Vicky. So Vicky was on a podcast and was speaking out about basically Tamara's behavior. And she made a comment about Tamara's strained relationship with her daughter, Sydney. Okay. And just kind of saying like, well, you know, if it was me and if it was my daughter who wouldn't talk to me because of being on the show or whatever, and, you know, if my doctor was estranged from me, I would be at her door knocking on it. I would do whatever she asked to make sure that we could mend our relationship, like this whole speech. Okay. So then Tamara responds and, you know, she could have responded in writing, but again, she wants to make us all look at her post-surgery face. But she responds to Vicky questioning her relationship with her eldest daughter and basically says, you know, actually the show has nothing to do with it. And I can't believe you'd bring this up. And then she did write a comment that said, shut the fuck up, Vicky. My daughter has never said such a thing. Leave us alone, you miserable cow. So Tamara basically in a couple comments kind of confirmed by the audience that if you didn't know, the post that Sydney put on Facebook years ago saying, I wish my mom would stop talking about me on the show, Tamara says, no, it's one her dad did years ago. So I guess Tamara's trying to say that, you know, her relationship or fractured relationship with Sydney is not because of the show. So there's a known post, okay, that Sydney put on Facebook. Well, allegedly, years ago. This was years ago, the first time this storyline came up after Tamara and Simon got divorced. And Sydney, Tamara's estranged daughter, basically wrote this whole, you know, it was a long post where she's saying, I wish my mom would stop talking about me on the show, stop talking about our personal issues. That's all I've asked of her. Leave me alone, like that kind of thing. And since then, people have really held on to that. Like, your daughter has asked you not to talk about her, but you continually use it as a storyline. You bring it up over and over again. That's come up over the years. Now it's coming up again because Vicky brought it up and because I don't think Vicky was like the first person to think of it, because I've seen a lot of people commenting it on social media even before Vicky talked about it on this podcast. So Vicky talked about it. You know, Tamara said, shut the fuck up. Tamara said, you don't know what you're talking about. That Simon wrote that, which... listen, that's an easy thing to say, I guess, as a mom who's alienated from her daughter, like to blame it on the dad because you don't want to accept that your daughter would maybe put that out there. Like, I could kind of see that. On the other side, I don't know. Maybe Simon was encouraging her to write that because he didn't want his kids on the show. Like, he wouldn't sign off on any of them being on it, right? So we had to wait till they were 18 or whatever. So I don't know what the truth is of that. But the point is that, you know, I don't think Tamara bringing it up on the show all the time, or even asking her daughter this season, who is on the show, she's constantly asking her or trying to bring up her divorce with Simon. And her daughter's like, no, we're not talking about that. So it doesn't seem like Tamara's the best with boundaries. Let's just say that. Okay. So all of that happened. And then we have, Tamara going on and doing this whole big dramatic production where she's bawling her eyes out, but not really. Like, she's like crying, but there's no tears. And she's like, you win, Vicky, you win. You know, you can have my spot on the show. This is too hard. Don't talk about my daughter. Just shut. Like, whatever. She has this whole thing. A lot of people are like, it seems fake. I'm not going to lie. I watched it. It seems fake. Maybe it's the plastic surgery. I don't know. There's no tears. I just don't believe it. I really don't. And it's not just because I'm so soured on Tamara right now because of how she is with Shannon. It just seems like when you watch it, it's like a bad acting audition tape. Like, it just doesn't seem authentic. So then Vicky claps back and says, it was never about the show. Stop lying about it. Oh, no, sorry. This was Tamara. Tamara also wrote this in addition to her crying video. It was never about the show. Stop lying about a painful situation. You know nothing about, you vile pig. So why do two of my children not speak to their dad? Is that the show's fault too? Have some sympathy for a tragic situation that has destroyed a family. Do you want to go after my parents and extended family too? They have no relationship with her either. Don't you have an elderly person to scam, fake chemo appointments to make, or a small animal to sacrifice? Okay, so that was Tamara's clap back. And then Vicky clapped back again and was like, listen, I'm not trying to like go after your daughter in that situation. She's like, I'm just stating facts. Like, the fact is that if I was in your situation, this is what I would do. I don't know. That was Vicky's defense. Does Tamara kind of have a point here? You know, that Vicky's maybe not exactly the person to comment on all this. Yeah, kind of, especially the way she sort of, I don't know, just ignored her daughter's pleas when Brooks was around, because we know Brianna was like, mom, this guy's saying weird things to me, he's hitting on me. And it was just, yeah, Vicky did not handle that well. And Vicky does not have a clean history by any sense. But listen, at the end of the day, I think right now Tamara needs to just shut up, which she can't seem to do. There's another interview that's come out where she's saying that Shannon should be praising Alexis Bellino for coming on RHOC because it takes the heat off of her DUI situation. That is the dumbest thing. I understand what Tamara's saying in the sense of like, okay, Shannon's becoming like the victim of Alexis. But at the same time, no one could have predicted that that would have happened. And it just as easily could have gone the other way. And on top of that, we're talking about the DUI nonstop because it's wrapped up with all the Alexis thing stuff, including the video. So it's not exactly distracting from it. I don't really think that's true. But listen, Tamara is too oversaturated. She's, you know, with the facelift, with the fighting with Vicky, with the everything, she needs to get off social media. It's just like Lala last season with Vanderpump Rules. She needs to get off social media, take a breath. People need less of her. We see on the show every week. That's enough. Okay. The best way to recover from this is to just stop talking. That's it. Because the more she talks, she just keeps digging the hole deeper and deeper. Okay. Case in point, my next example. So this is kind of an off the show thing that's happening or that happened, but basically Kiki from The Talk of Shame, you probably know her, you know, she does like these great TikToks and reels, shares news, you know, has, I think she has a podcast and she has, you know, she hosts Radio Andy sometimes and she's great. And, you know, she does a lot of Bravo news, but other stuff too, every like entertainment news and things like that. So she was on Sheena's podcast recently and Sheena was like, was Tamara and Teddy talking about us on their podcast? And then Kiki was like, well, I don't know about that. But basically, she said that she had a bunch of DMs from Tamara one day. And Tamara was like, are you hosting Radio Andy right now? And Kiki was like, no, I'm at the Tom Girardi trial. And then Tamara was like, well, are you hosting Radio Andy? Because I heard that someone called in and called Alexis a whore and called me a piece of shit. And Kiki's like, again, I am not hosting it right now. I am at the Tom Girardi trial. And then Tamara was like, oh, because I was so mad when I heard about that, that I called Andy and I was bitching or something like that. And then Kiki was like, okay, well, in the future, if I do say something to piss you off, can you come to me and talk about it first instead of like calling Andy and trying to get me fired for something I didn't even do? Because I need my job. That, when I saw that and listened to that, and of course, I believe Kiki like 100%. But when I saw that, I was like, what the fuck, Tamara? Like, now you're trying, like, because somebody who cares if someone called and called Alexis a whore? She hasn't been called that before, like, and said that you're a piece of shit. Come on, Tamara. You've been called way worse things on social media. You're probably getting called them right now as I speak. And you can't handle that one day because some person called into Radio Andy. And also, what, you're going to complain every time, you know, a viewer or an audience member calls in his show or a podcast to say something about you? Like, this is what I'm talking about. Put the phone down, walk away for a second, take a breath, watch Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Like, do something, okay? Do something, because you're losing it. You're spiraling and you're losing it. And now trying to get some person fired who wasn't even involved in it in the first place is just like, it's psychotic behavior, honestly. Okay, so in case you're looking for a house, in case you really like Secret Lives of Mormon Wives and you want to move to Utah, by the way, Angie is selling her home. Angie's home is like one of those Bravo homes that you remember because it's so white and sterile, and she has that gigantic bed in her room that they all sleep in. But yeah, her mansion's for sale. It's for $4.5 million, four bed, four bath, 6,300 square feet. Okay, so just in case you're looking, I wonder where she's going. I want to see Angie's new house and her new design aesthetic, because you know it's going to be good, okay? You know it's not going to be like understated. Okay. And then another little announcement we have, because we have just like some little stories here, is that Phaedra is officially going to be on season 33 of Dancing with the Stars. Rumor was flying around for like a day, and then it was like officially announced the next day. Her and her partner announced it. I mean, the traitors really worked wonders for Phaedra. She really got to showcase, you know, her personality, her humor. You know, she's got a lot of good, like, one-liners. Everybody loves her. Like, my uncle and aunt, who, like, don't know anything about Bravo, they don't watch any Bravo shows, they watched The Traitors, though, and they were like, we just love Phaedra. So, listen, Phaedra has elevated herself. You know, now she's back on RHOA. So, listen, this is why people want to get on shows like Dancing with the Stars, Traitors, all those kind of shows, because it can, you know, it can elevate your position and it can open you up to new audiences kind of outside of what, you know, your usual audience. Okay. Now, speaking of shows and filming and all that kind of stuff, by the way, I am getting an update that Southern Charm is going to be returning in December. So if you're looking for that, it is coming. And if you don't want to move to Utah and live with Angie or live where the Mormon wives are, you can buy Andy's New York City dream home for $14 million. And Ryan Serhant holds the listing. So he's on this new show, Owning Manhattan. It's terrible. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of watching it just because I like to see the real estate. But he's annoying. I never watched Million Dollar Listing, so I never knew him from whatever show he was on before, but he's so obnoxious. Sorry if there's any fans of him out there. He's just so fake, and like, he tries to like put this persona on in his confessionals. It's like he's trying too hard to be funny, and then he's also trying too hard to be like boss man, and then he's also trying too hard to be, you know, I don't know. I can't even put my finger on what he's trying too hard to be. It's just not good. It really, if he wasn't on the show, it would be better, ironically, because like he's the owner of this real estate thing. And I really like some of the other people on it. He's like my least favorite. And then he has these couple of tiny little moments on Owning Manhattan where he's just like, lets his guard down and he's kind of himself for a minute. And he's much more tolerable. Like, he needs to stop trying so hard. Okay, so our last piece of news that I do want to get into because it is important is Real Housewives of Dubai. If you want to hear all my thoughts and analysis of Ayan versus Lisa, it is all on the Patreon. That was one of the topics. I did a kind of, you know, deep dive into that and all my thoughts on it. I also, you know, gave a much longer conversation about all my thoughts on Jax and his mental health diagnosis and the Tamra versus Vicky of it all. So, you know, if you want more of that kind of thing, that's what I did on the Patreon, as well as my Ladies of London, of course, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. But there's been some updates on Dubai because Caroline Stanbury and Lisa Milan are going at it on Twitter. Listen, these ladies keep going. The reunion's filmed, it's done, and they're still arguing. So I don't know, maybe they didn't get it out at the reunion. Maybe Andy didn't ask the right questions. I don't know. Okay. So this was in regards to Lisa potentially buying a farm in like that area of England and, you know, that whole story with the bragging thing. So Caroline Stanbury posted, "Let's be clear, none of the girls could have bought my mother's house," with a laughing face emoji. And then somebody responded and said, "This is what I was thinking when Lisa was talking about buying a property. Have they bought anything in the Cotswolds? Her Insta doesn't seem like they have, nor anywhere else in England." And then Stanbury replied and said, "Let's see. If so, Cast Trip Season 3, wonderful. 100 acres in the Cotswolds would set you back over 10 million. It's the most exclusive area in the UK." Then Lisa got into this thread and replied and with like a link from Great British Life. And it was like, see, sorry, a bug just landed on me. And it was like, see inside this beautiful barn conversion. And then Caroline Stanbury replied and said, "I didn't say I have 100 acres there. She said she's buying, and you simply cannot buy that there. Let's be clear." And then Lisa replied and said, "Lies. Maybe she can't buy there, but people who can afford to can. There are so many for sale. This one is 172 acres for under 8 million. And then she posts, "Freehold Saddlewood, 172 acres, guide price, £7.9. Which, to be fair, that would be, you know, probably that would be a lot more in dollars. And then Caroline replied and said, "This is Tetbury, a completely different area. I went to school here, Lisa Milan," with a laughing face emoji. And then Caroline also tweeted, "Before Lisa Milan takes on my homes, why don't we take a full tour of hers, RHO Dubai, right? That's me done, off to work." And then Lisa says, "Anytime, any day, virtual or in person." All right. So I guess Stanbury's trying to kind of say that like Lisa is, you know, not really buying a home there, or maybe she doesn't know how expensive it really is. And I think this is one of those things where Stanbury's being a little bit territorial because that's like where she's from and she knows the history and she knows the, and she's trying to flex a little bit on like her parents' level of money and her level of wealth, etc. And her and Lisa just also don't like each other, obviously. I'm so confused. I'm not from England. I'm not from these areas. I don't know what's what. I don't know who's right and wrong. I mean, I lean towards believing Stanbury when she said, well, that's not in that part of the country. I went to school there, because she did grow up there. But then somebody DM'd me and was like, that's not true. It is part of that area. And I'm like, I don't even want to get into this. But this seems like the kind of thing that there should be a factual answer for, right? Like, this shouldn't be up for debate. I don't know. Anyways. Maybe Lisa thought the area was a different area. I don't fucking know. I like Lisa. I like Stanbury. I like both of them. I think this is a dumb, petty fight. I also just think they just don't like each other and they'll look for anything to kind of, you know, try and one-up each other. You know what I mean? So listen, I don't know if Dubai, though, is going to get it next season. Listen, the season finale ratings were not good, but I think it should get another season because it's a good show. And they have potential to keep getting better, but they need time. But I don't know if they're going to get the time because the ratings were quite low. The season finale wasn't very good. I also have to say that. Although everyone is talking about the Ion versus Lisa thing, that was really only like the last 10 minutes. The rest of the episode was kind of wah, wah. I don't know. It wasn't that exciting. One last piece of news before we wrap up. Candace and Chris from Real Housewives of Potomac, well, formerly, because Candace isn't on. I can't believe Candace isn't on Potomac anymore. That's so weird. They have announced they are having a boy. They put up a video. They had a whole thing with paint or, you know, whatever the fuck. At least they didn't burn anything down, but they're having a boy. So congratulations to them. And I have a feeling that by the next episode that I record this, we will know the name of Lala's baby. That's for sure, right? Do we think? I don't know. We know it starts with an S. It goes well with ocean. And a lot of people are guessing sailor. Because sailor, ocean, I don't know. We're going to see. We will see. Put your bets in, people. Anyways, until next time, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. And for more bonus content, join my Patreon. All the information for everything is in the episode description. Love you all. Have a great week. See you Monday. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.